This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joined by Miles Allinson, who has a new book that's just come out called In Moonland. And the book is also being released at the same time with Melbourne City Reads, which is a great new initiative to get people buying local books from local bookstores.
The city bookshops, which they're all really struggling because no one's in the city, of course, and it's a great initiative. And we'll find out a little bit more about that when we speak to Miles. But introduce him.
Oh, okay. Over to me again.
Dave's getting very bossy now, isn't he? See?
That wasn't bossy.
Miles, thank you so much for coming on the show. Welcome.
Now, Miles, I'm going to pick on you the whole time we're speaking to you.
It's going
to
be your turn now, Miles.
I'm in that mood.
Sorry in advance.
Just warning you.
Miles, could you tell us a little bit about your background as a writer before we get into your latest book? It would be great to hear what has come before.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote another book about 6 years ago, which was called Fever of Animals, which was about a guy sort of searching for an obscure Romanian surrealist, trying to write a biography about that character and that surrealist painter who disappeared into a forest and was never heard or seen of since.
Wow.
So that's the only major other piece of writing I've done. I've also, obviously written lots of other little things and published poems and essays here and there.
And
second novel.
Sorry, I was going to say, why don't I just ask a little bit about that, Miles, actually. So when did you, what made you want to write and tell stories, I suppose? Because you started with poems, did you say, and then moved on to
writing? Well, sort of, I guess. I think I really started as trying to be an artist and at some point felt like I maybe wasn't a good enough painter to be an artist.
So that's what that first novel was about. It was you that was disappearing into the forest, was it?
Something like that. Hey. I was exercising some demon.
Okay. Miles, how hard is it to be a writer? The inspiration and the discipline that you've got to have, let's sit there in front of a computer for hours on end. Do you find it fairly easy? Oh, why are you laughing? Don't you do that?
How hard? Out of 10? No, look, it's today was a pretty miserable day. I was sitting there trying to write and it was pretty miserable. I was thinking, why do I bother? Why do I do this? So there are plenty of those days, and you sort of forget about them actually when you finally have a book.
Of course,
like, oh, here it is.
Yeah,
here's a book. I did it.
Yeah,
but then you go back in again and you realise, oh no, actually this is actually really hard work.
Yeah,
this is pretty painful a lot of the time.
But the other side of it is, Miles, is that you have a publisher, which is a rarity for so many writers these days, isn't it?
I don't know. I feel very lucky to have a publisher. That certainly helps. Sometimes I just drive down the street and look at them and remind myself that I have a publisher. go past the publishing house.
Yeah. Now, tell us about this latest book called In Moonland. What's that about?
Well, I was hoping you'd tell me, because it's always hard to describe your own book. It felt like... even as I was writing it, even as I was near the end of it, I still didn't really know what it was about. But I guess...
That's funny.
In a very kind of rudimentary way, it follows three generations, a son, the son's father, and then the son's daughter in the future. And it follows them, I suppose, through from the 70s into the future. The son is trying to find out why his father... perhaps, maybe, committed suicide. The father is seen in the 70s joining an ashram in India. And in the future, the daughter is sort of trying to reconnect with her father, who's the son from part one. And I guess they're all kind of searching for some sort of connection, searching for, to try and figure out who they are in some ways.
Right. And is that a reflection on you a little bit, or, you know, like, is it totally, you know, you didn't use yourself within there?
Am I trying to figure out who I am, do you mean?
Well, let's say that, yeah.
I'm always trying to figure out who I am.
Well, you don't even know what the book's about, so
you've got a long way to
go. Okay, so...
Look, of course, there's lots of autobiographical stuff in there mixed in with lots of stuff that's just made up. So, you know, you could never figure out which one was which if you tried.
Yeah.
And you wrote this over 6 years, and in that time you became a father yourself, if I'm right about that. Did that change your perspective on writing the story at all as you went through?
Becoming a father, you mean?
Yeah.
Look, I think it was it's pretty hard to separate in some ways, the experience of being a father and the experience and writing that book. They sort of went together. I'm sure I've changed immensely. I'm certainly more tired than I was 6 years ago, that's for sure.
Actually, we had a visual artist on a couple of weeks ago, and he said he was doing the interview from his car because he didn't want to wake his newborn baby up. So, life changes dramatically when there's a kid involved, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I like sitting in the car myself. It's often my preferred place of retreat, you know, especially during lockdown.
Yeah, for something to do, I'll go and sit in the car for half an hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so what is the Melbourne City Reads initiative, and what's your part in this as well?
So the Melbourne City Reads program was, or is, a promotion put together by a bunch of local bookstores in inner Melbourne. And it was just an attempt basically to draw attention not only to the bookshops themselves who had suffered during, a series of extended lockdowns and who are really just, you know, struggling to survive, to be honest.
Oh, it would be terrible for them, yeah.
It is. It's a really, really tough time. And also, I guess, to promote some writers who also kind of, you know, had the misfortune of releasing a book into a pandemic.
Yeah. Miles, my background is record companies, international record companies, and I'm now out of it, but they're having a boom time. Like the record companies were failing about 4 or 5 years ago because everyone was buying or streaming all their music, but they're booming right now. So that's not the case with books. I thought it would be.
By records, you mean they're booming because they're selling actual vinyl
records? Yeah.
Well, that's something. That's something we didn't sort of see coming a while ago. Look, I think people are still buying books, but it's really tricky when you can't walk into a bookstore and choose a book. You know, that really makes a difference. And you're still paying rent. You're still, you know, a lot of the time paying staff and you know, bookstores are still battling against the iPhone, they're battling against Netflix, they're battling against Amazon, you know, so it's a tough gig.
Yeah,
selling real books.
And that is the reason behind this initiative is because, you know, like Amazon's a perfect outlet, but you know, supporting your local bookshop is just as important. And even before this whole COVID business, it was, you know, like bookshops were struggling a few years back, and then that they've started to bounce back a bit, and now this has happened for them. But this is what society should be all about, is supporting local businesses, shouldn't it?
You'd hope so. You know, like, you know, just imagine cities without bookshops, and then you know, it's sort of a devastating kind of idea of a society, really.
Yeah.
So yes, absolutely.
Now, what are you doing on Wednesday, the 29th of September? Have you got anything planned?
I was going to say I have no idea.
Well, yes, you do. Come on.
I guess I'm doing an interview, like, you know, something similar to this with Toni Jordan, who's a, you know, wonderful Australian novelist herself, and she's very kindly agreed to help me out and ask me some questions in public for the Wheel Centre, which is at the Wheel Centre or by means of the Wheel Centre, however it may be, in this kind of virtual age. as part of this Melbourne City Reads program. So I'm just doing a conversation.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And Miles, how important is it to you? Like, do you like doing this publicity that rounds, or do I have to do it? But you do have to do it, don't you?
Well, look, if you're lucky enough to to get any of it, then yeah, you kind of do have to do it, even if you don't like doing it. Which I don't really, to be honest. I feel a bit squeamish about it, but I also feel very grateful that I have the opportunity to do it, you know, because otherwise, you know, there are so many books that just are released into a void, especially at this time, and sort of, you know, to write a book and then to have it sort of just vanish almost instantly is sort of a real tragedy. So I feel grateful for this opportunity.
And now, you as the artist, this thought just came to me. Do you design your book covers?
I always try, and I always say this is what the book cover should look like, and my publisher always pretends to listen to me and then goes about their business, right, as they should, and make them something much better than, for some reason, what I came up with. Yeah,
it's a really great cover, though. Like, it kind of looks like a 1960s collaged rock poster, and it's the kind of thing that does make me miss being in bookstores, because you know, like, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but gosh, you can be attracted to one by its cover.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And this is a
real thing. Yeah, no, I always judge books by their cover.
Oh, do you? So you walk into a bookshop or look online, and if you see a good cover, it will spark your interest.
Absolutely, yeah. No, and you know, you sort of can judge books by their covers a lot of the time. You know, there are lots of very good books have good covers.
Yeah.
You know, it's not foolproof, but it's possible.
Well, also, I think that saying was said a long, long time ago, and now all the research that would go into, you know, like your publisher, you know, like dumping your design, because, you know, like they would really have a thought process of how it should look. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is, I think it's a beautiful cover. It's designed by a really talented Melbourne designer, Alison Colpoise. And so, yeah, she worked really hard at it and did a fantastic job. So I feel very, very lucky.
Brilliant.
That I didn't get a stinker, as someone said.
All right, so what's the name of the book again?
It's called In Moonland.
In Moonland. And what night are you doing your wonderful streaming interview?
I believe it's the 29th. I think that's a Wednesday.
That's a Wednesday, yes, at 6:30. So we'll ring you to remind you that you're doing it at 6:30.
That'd be great.
Good on you. All right. Thanks so much for... Oh, and if you want more details, what...
If anyone wants more details, you can look online. There's also Melb City Reads on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. And there are 8 bookstores involved. Dimmicks, Collins Street, Hill of Content Bookshop, Mary Martin, Queen, Victoria Market, Mary Martin, South Bank, North Melbourne Books, Paperback Bookshop, Readings Carlton and the Reading State Library. And there's also going to be one author being interviewed a month with the Wheeler Centre.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment we're speaking with Miles Allinson, and then we have have had Ali Richards and Emily Bitto will be coming up, and Maxine Beneba Clark. So definitely something worth tuning into.
Absolutely. And yes, and wouldn't you, you need to hear more about Miles' life as a writer on the 29th. Thanks, Miles, for chatting with us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much. We've been talking to Miles Allinson here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.